It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the state Supreme Court says it will take a least changes approach to drawing Wisconsin's legislative maps. We'll talk about what that means and look at some of the nation's top political stories in the week in Washington, including how the White House, Congress, and governors are reacting to the new Omicron coronavirus variant. But first, Michelle Good joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune into Central Time. And that's all thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make Central Time and all that other stuff on the Ideas Network possible.
That's right, Rob. And last hour, we heard from 9 donors. Thank you to everyone who gave. New goal this hour, 10 gifts. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, and we could start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. Now, we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but it's really voluntary listener contributions that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
That means your support is vital to keeping WPR on the air. Now that you know what a big deal you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this drive, you can do more than just support great radio. You can provide hunger relief in your area. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
Alliant Energy is partnering with us right now. They're matching every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts. That could mean an extra 12,500 meals for your community. Increase your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What a wonderful idea, especially in the time of giving, to be able to give back to your community this way. Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity, because we serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, and sounds from around the state. Over time, all those broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state that we call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners, by you. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every single day in the form of engaging, great programming. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Just kicking off this hour, looking for 10 more people to give today. If you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, it ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Maybe you're like Ed in Eau Claire, who says, "I've listened ever since I was a young child." Are you that listener? Are you somebody who gets up every day and counts on WPR for your news, for your entertainment, maybe a couple of laughs? Time for you to make that donation. 1-888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now, when you're making that donation, it's a great time to consider becoming a sustaining member. Easy to set up. They're convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great, important, fun, lively conversations each and every day. We really do count on you to help pay for it. And you can do that right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. Now we've got a little better idea of what Wisconsin's legislative maps could look like for the next 10 years. The state Supreme Court ruled yesterday that would take a, quote, least changes approach to drawing new districts. That means they're going to be based largely on the currently existing maps. The ruling is a victory for Republicans who've had large majorities in the Assembly and Senate, even when Democrats have done well in statewide elections. So what do we know now about how the map-making process is going to work? Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob.
So what does this least changes deal mean?
The least changes basically means that when the court evaluates maps, that they are going to start with that 2011 map as their baseline. That the argument being that that map was passed by a legislature, signed by a governor, and survived federal court challenges. And so rather than the state Supreme Court kind of starting fresh with new proposed maps this time around, they said they're going to adjust that one to deal with population changes and, you know, not kind of start new.
And that's the argument from the court's conservative majority, the four votes in favor of this. What was the argument from the three dissenters seen as the liberal minority on the court?
Yeah, Justice Rebecca Dallet wrote the dissent here and said it's one thing for the legislature to entrench their power for a decade. It's quite another when the court does it for them. And that just by starting with a least changes map, the court was not in any way going with a neutral approach. You know, they're starting with a map that has a documented and well-known Republican gerrymander to it.
Remind us why a court is going to be involved in drawing these maps in the first place.
A court's going to be involved in drawing these maps because Wisconsin's legislature is controlled by Republicans and the governor is Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And they do not see eye to eye at all on, you know, redistricting, because of the political power that it holds. So Republican lawmakers passed their version of a map, which is actually slightly more Republican than the map that they passed in 2011. Governor Tony Evers already vetoed that map. And so this is, the court now saying, when we evaluate this, when this comes to us, this is how we're going to look at it.
This is the state's highest court. You've told me in the past, Sean, that when we've had this split government, that it's gone to federal court. So what's happening in federal court right now?
There is a lawsuit pending there that was filed by Democrats in a number of groups that are, you know, allies with Democrats. And that case is basically waiting for the state Supreme Court process to play out here. So the federal court is not trying to jump ahead of the state Supreme Court, kind of recognizing that, you know, at its core, redistricting is a state law. It's a state action. This is a state court. And so the federal court is waiting there. That's not to say that a federal court won't be involved in this at some point. There are still going to be claims that Democrats can bring based on federal law in the U.S. Constitution, but they can't bring a partisan gerrymandering claim in federal court because the U.S. Supreme Court said we can't do that.
So what's next?
What's next is we're going to probably watch the state Supreme Court kind of, I don't know, there will be incremental fights over what these districts look like because this map does have to change to adjust for populations. And so, you know, the partisan tilt of the map may shift one way or another based upon these filings and what the state Supreme Court ultimately rules. But it's not going to be a wholesale, you know, start over from the beginning and go for a map that is more reflective of Wisconsin's 50-50 population, not with this Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Sean, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, co-host of the highly relevant Mapped Out podcast from WPR. Talked to them about yesterday's state Supreme Court ruling on Wisconsin's legislative maps. We'll talk more about the topic Friday on Central Time with a law professor. Up next, it's our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics. The first U.S. case of the Omicron variant has been found in California. We'll find out how the White House is responding. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you want to see from the federal government to respond to the new variant, the already existing ones in the country, travel limits from affected countries, federal response? Do we need one at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick that up coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The first U.S. case of the Omicron variant has been identified in California. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci announcing the news at a White House press briefing this afternoon.
The individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November the 22nd and tested positive on November the 29th. The individual is self-quarantining, and all close contacts have been contacted, and all close contacts thus far have tested negative. The individual was fully vaccinated and experienced mild symptoms, which are improving at this point.
It's the Week in Washington. We'll talk about how the White House is responding to the new variant in the country, along with other big stories. Adam Walder is deputy editor for McClatchy. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Rob, thanks again for having me on.
So we have this first confirmed case of the Omicron variant now. We're hearing from local public officials in San Francisco saying the person has already recovered. What has the White House been doing to prepare for this Omicron variant? It's clear, I guess we knew it was coming.
That's right. This is something that they've already been sort of, anticipating, ever since this variant was first detected last week. That was only really a matter of time before it was identified here in the U.S. And of course, we had our first identified case in California today. And, on the one hand, this variant was discovered, kind of so early on. It was caught very early on by scientists, a lot of experts, that there still is a lot that we're learning about. And scientists say, really, we won't know really the full extent of this variant in terms of, how severe it is, how it's going to react to different vaccines. And, for a few weeks yet, which does leave the White House with some limited options at this point. Of course, people are worried about it. And, of course, they want to show that they are responding to it in some form or fashion. They already put in that kind of narrow travel ban, reinstated it for some countries where this was first identified. But aside from that, the primary message from the White House officials has been to get a booster shot right before this variant was detected. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to get that booster shot. It was opened up to all adults. The CDC has since strengthened their recommendation for adults to get that booster shot. So that's going to be the primary message, I think, that we hear from the White House until we learn a little bit more about this variant, is to get that booster shot to offer yourself that extra layer of protection.
And I understand federal officials, especially health officials, are in touch with state and territorial officials. What kind of message is there? Apart from encouraging boosters, is there much they would do differently for this variant than they're already doing anyway?
Right. And I think, another big part of this will just simply be identifying it wherever it pops up. Obviously, we have this first example today, but trying to neutralize it, as best they can. We just heard Dr. Fauci talking about how they, are immediately doing contact tracing, making sure that, the people that do have this variant are quarantined and aren't infecting other people so that it doesn't continue to spread all that widely throughout the U.S.
Now, vaccine mandates have taken some hits in courts, and they're obviously related to the Omicron variant, but also to something going on in Congress, a risk. This one kind of snuck up on me, a risk of a possible government shutdown. Can you connect the dots for us?
That's right. Yeah, kind of snuck up on everybody a little bit. The government is set to run out of money at the end of the day on Friday. And, even coming into this week, I think most people here in Washington didn't expect that there was really any risk of a shutdown, despite Congress, as usual, leaving things to the last minute here. But now some Republicans in Congress want to essentially force a vote on Biden's vaccine mandate. And they're able to sort of, use this funding deadline as leverage. Basically, they can, potentially force a government shutdown that would at least be temporary by trying to force a vote on this vaccine mandate to at the very least get some lawmakers on the record with how they feel about this. Of course, Republicans, some of the more conservative Republicans are very much opposed to this and want to, show that their constituents that they are fighting against it. So it still is exactly unclear how this is all going to play out. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell even just said earlier today he still, anticipates that a government shutdown will be avoided. But whenever you sort of leave these funding deadlines to the last minute, it always opens the door to these sort of wrenches being thrown into the mix at the last minute.
Talking to Adam Walner, deputy editor for McClatchy, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Looking ahead, we're about a year off, Adam, from the November midterm elections of 2022. And you wrote recently that they may be the most expensive elections in history. Why the big price tag?
That's right. You know, I know in Wisconsin, you all are no stranger to campaign ads, and I wouldn't anticipate 2022 being any different. And you know, some you know people who track this sort of thing, who track campaign spending, campaign ad spending, you know, they're projecting that not only will spending top all previous midterm elections fairly easily, but that ad spending in particular could even approach the last presidential election, which of course set a record for spending. And really, the big reason for this is, you know, you have both chambers of Congress right now are so narrowly divided. That they're both up for grabs. You know, there's so going to be a lot of, you know, big races in battleground states, Wisconsin included. And then on top of that, you know, you have 36 governor's races across the country, Wisconsin again included in that. So it just sort of creates this sort of perfect storm where you just have a lot of highly competitive elections. There's going to be a lot at stake, you know, control of the Senate, control of the House, control of all these governor's mansions. And of course, that's all going to, you know, play into how things shape out in the following presidential election as well. So that's leading to these projections that we're going to see record levels of spending in the midterms.
You also wrote about the role of former President Trump in Democratic strategy after their close shave in New Jersey, an election loss, a governor's race loss in Virginia. What are you hearing from Democrats as to how much they focus on the former president?
That's right. You know, that was a big focus that Democrats had down the final stretch of some of these off-year elections in Virginia and New Jersey was to try and tie their Republican opponents to former President Donald Trump, who, even though he is no longer in office, of course, remains you know, really the undisputed leader of the Republican Party, but still is not all that popular among the broader electorate. Did not have the intended effect, as you mentioned, they only barely won the governor's race in New Jersey, a very blue state, and ended up losing the governor's race in Virginia, which Joe Biden won by 10 points just a year ago. But they aren't ready to completely dismiss the strategy just yet, because they did see evidence that by kind of injecting Trump into these campaigns, it still did motivate their base. And that's going to be a big challenge for the Democrats going into the midterms, always a challenging one for the party in power. And they also think that, you know, the further that we get into the midterm election cycle, the more that we're going to hear from former President Trump. He's already made a lot of endorsements. He's going to continue to make more. He's pledged to get back on the campaign trail. And of course, he hasn't, you know, ruled out. And if anything, has really been suggesting that he's likely to run again in 2024. So they think he's going to be much more of a presence on the campaign trail in 2022. And they think that they can use that to drag down Republicans, particularly in some of these battleground states that he lost in just last year in the presidential election.
We'll leave it there. Adam, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Adam Molnar, deputy editor for McClatchy. He was with us today for a look at some of the top stories in national politics. Coming up, Daryl Brooks allegedly drove his vehicle into Waukesha parade goers when he was out on bail for another alleged attack. A legal expert helps us understand the arguments for and against reforming the bail system. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Michelle Good is with me now. It's a chance to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2021. With 2022 just around the corner, you could take action now. Give the programs you count on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, make WPR part of your year-end charitable giving. We've only got about 35 minutes left in this hour. We are still looking for 8 more people to join the team. Thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't done it yet, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That gift you make will fund the programs you enjoy.
In this last segment, we learned about what it means that the state Supreme Court has decided to take a least changes approach to drawing the latest round of Wisconsin legislative maps. Keeping you informed and helping break down these complicated issues is what Central Time brings you every day, and they're really good at it.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, Central Time and WPR are listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
Choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Takes just a few minutes. Once it's set up, your support for the programs you value is always current.
When you invest in WPR, you know you can count on reliability and value in return. We've been here for more than 100 years, and there's no end in sight. That's reliability that you can count on.
And WPR is a great value. You can turn on the radio at any hour of the day or night and hear something interesting and learn something new. Invest in that future listening. Choose an amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that's a really important part of it, is that everybody should choose the gift that works for them. And for you, maybe that's $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for your cable or family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something that you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 8 more people to support WPR programs like Central Time in the next little over 30 minutes or so. That'll help us meet our goal. WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift, you, the listener, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And here's an extra thing you can do. You can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. Some extra encouragement there. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're like Susan in Colfax, who says, I love all the shows, but especially Larry 1A and Central Time, now is the time. You made the list. You made the list, Rob. Now is the time to show your appreciation. Show your support. You make these programs possible at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Ann in Middleton says, I really like Central Time, yay, and the mix of serious and lighter topics. I like that too, I gotta say, Ann. I really appreciate, as the host of the show, the variety. And I love that we could bring that to you. Some serious things, some fun things, some thoughtful things. It's a lot of great variety, and it all happens thanks to you and your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, advocates have been working for bail reform to keep low-income people from being stuck in jail for minor crimes. But the car attack in Waukesha is raising concerns about high-risk suspects getting out of jail too easily. We'll find out how bail works in Wisconsin and why people are calling for changes. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Michelle Good joins me now. Now is your time to take action. Set your favorite programs up for success in 2022 with your gift during this drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you count on all year long. Either way, takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when 7 more people join us during the next 25 minutes, we will meet our goal. We get really excited about these goals, but they're also important. They're set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So please make that donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join us every weekday on Central Time from 3 to 6 o'clock. You get a wide range of topics to help you with your commute home. Today, for example, as I mentioned, we'll talk about bail, how it works in Wisconsin, calls for changes and reforms, also media coverage of women's sports, and some Wisconsin legends and folklore.
And your support makes all of the news, information, entertainment, You make it possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen when you do give. It feels good to know you're part of the team making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio, because it's yours. You fund it. It becomes yours. It starts with your donation, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals to people facing hunger in Wisconsin. This drive, Alliant Energy will match up to 12,500 meals. Join in now. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. With your donation of $10 or $20 a month, it will go twice as far in providing hunger relief to the people in your community. Here's how to give.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on and to take advantage of that food gift as well. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Michelle Good. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And there are so many important and interesting topics and issues covered here on the Ideas Network. You rely on these discussions, and that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
Help us put a strong finish on 2021 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the year to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 7 more gifts this hour. Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. And if you are, thank you so very much. Maybe you could consider making an extra gift of just $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive and thank you for your extra support for the programs that you enjoy every single day.
And choose one of those food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy partnering with us. They'll match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000 worth of meals. Ask for that food bank gift. Get it matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And consider becoming a sustainer when you make that gift. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, but you got to get started, and you do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gary in Verona says, sometimes this world sets my hair on fire. WPR puts out the fire. Thank you, Gary says. I hope you're being all metaphorical there, Gary. And if not, I'm wondering how we help.
Send the fire department right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, don't count on us for that. But thank you, Gary. I actually do get what you're saying there. Thank you so much for giving. And Paul in La Crosse says, I support the fair and complete news coverage. Paul, Gary, thank you so much for your gifts. How about you? Join them with your support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have that food bank gift when you make your donation. $10 or $20 a month, Alliant Energy is partnering with us, and they will match every meal raised through a food bank thank you gift, up to $5,000 worth of meals. Ask for yours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR wouldn't be what it is today without you, without people like you who have given over the years. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. When Daryl Brooks allegedly drove his SUV into parade goers in Waukesha, killing 6 people, injuring more than 60, he was out on bail for another alleged vehicular attack. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm called the $1,000 bail for Brooks' initial charges inappropriately low. Daryl Brooks' bail for the Waukesha parade attack has been set now at $5 million. There's also been a movement in recent years to limit large cash bail arrangements, with concerns that they keep low-income people in jail, even when accused of minor nonviolent offenses. Cecilia Klingel is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She teaches courses in criminal law, constitutional criminal procedure, and sentencing and corrections. Cecilia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start kind of with a bail 101. First of all, at what stage in the process is somebody potentially eligible to get out of jail on bail?
So you can be released from custody on bail at any point in the pretrial proceedings, but typically a bail decision is made very soon after arrest by a magistrate judge.
And this is for someone who's been charged but not convicted, right?
That is correct. When we're talking about bond in this context, what we're talking about are people who have been accused of committing a crime, but that hasn't yet been proven in court.
What is the purpose of bail? Is some people seem to be looking at it as a punitive measure. What is the original intent of saying, hey, we're charging you this much money or you're giving us this much money to hold while you're out? Why do we do it that way?
Sure. So it is important to remember that in the American legal system, there's a presumption of innocence that attaches to anyone accused of a crime, regardless what we may think we know about that person's guilt or innocence. When we talk about bond from a legal perspective, we're actually not just talking about money. We're also talking about rules or conditions that a court may impose on someone who is being released from jail during that time between charging and conviction or acquittal, as the case may be. And so when a judge is deciding whether or not to impose any kind of bond, cash or otherwise, the judge's main job is to make sure that the person is going to show up to court so we can decide whether or not the person is guilty or innocent. That's the first and primary purpose of bond. And then secondarily, the court can impose conditions that also are intended to make sure that the public is kept reasonably safe during that time of release.
And that's the central issue in the Waukesha case. How much latitude do judges have to say, you know what, we haven't convicted you of this initial charge yet, but we're so worried that you might do something similar or worse, we're not going to grant you bail?
So that's a great question. And there's sort of the answer in practice and the legally correct answer. So in a perfect world, what would happen is that under the statutes, we would look to see what you've been charged with. And there are certain crimes that are serious enough and that raise significant enough concerns about someone's safety in the community that when a person has been charged with those crimes and the prosecutor proves to the court that there aren't any conditions that would keep the public safe from this person while we're deciding whether or not he or she is guilty, then under those conditions, you can deny release altogether. And that's really the way we ought to be proceeding in cases where we think someone just is too dangerous to be released to the community. But the other more common way that we actually go about this is to use our regular bond statute. And what we often do is, if we don't think that there are conditions that are sufficient to keep the public safe, then often what you'll see is a really high cash bond imposed. Technically, under the statute, you're only supposed to impose cash bail in an amount that makes sure someone shows up for their court hearings. You're not supposed to use it to keep them detained during that pretrial period, unless, again, they've been charged with a specific crime and we've proven that there's no safe way to release them.
Talking to Cecilia Klingel from the UW Law School, looking at bail in Wisconsin, how it works, and criticisms from a variety of perspectives. One of those criticisms, Cecilia, has been an effort to reform bail, saying, in effect, low-income suspects, especially in lower minor offenses, maybe nonviolent offenses, can end up stuck in jail because they can't pay cash bail. Do you see that as a problem with the system?
That certainly can happen, that there are situations in which we impose what may seem to a judge or to lawyers like a low amount of bond, enough to make sure someone shows up to court. But it turns out that for a lot of people, even a small amount of money is too much money to come up with. And so even for people charged with less serious crimes and who don't pose a particular risk to the public, sometimes it may be the case that they end up stuck behind bars when that's not an essential result and the community could be perfectly safe. Ideally, what we would be doing is using those conditions of release to try to mitigate risks during that pretrial period as much as we could and not detain people who don't need to be detained.
As we set this up, this all comes up after the Waukesha parade attack, concerns that the bail was too low. I want to give a listen to Republican Assembly Representative Scott Allen, Republican from Waukesha, talking about this issue on WPR's morning show earlier today.
We have to show that love to each other. we need to work through this together, and I think it's important that we begin that process.
I think we have the wrong clip there. I'll read what the transcript here. The suspect had earlier that month actually tried to run over his wife, ran over his wife with his car, his ex-wife. That could very well have been attempted homicide. Allen went on, he has a fairly extensive criminal record. He's 39 years old. The time for his reform well passed. Representative Allen says, my assessment is he was dangerous when he was released on bail. At what point do we say this is enough? We have to put public safety number one. In this particular case, Cecilia, it seems like a lot of people agree this bail was low, and this was a suspect in another case who was potentially harmful to others.
Sure. And this is a place where, you know, the details of law really do matter. Whether or not the bail cash bond was too low in that case, I can't say. We should be asking questions about what the conditions of supervision were for this individual during the release period. My understanding is that the court did order him to be monitored quite closely at a fairly high level of supervision in the community. Obviously, that didn't prevent this. And I do think it's important to remember that when we're talking about really egregious tragedies like the one that happened in Waukesha, some of these things are just so extreme, they're very difficult to prevent or to predict. In addition, I mean, the clip or you read suggested that maybe higher charges would have been warranted in this case. Certainly, if the charges had been for attempted homicide, then it would have been possible to proceed under the provision that would have denied this individual release altogether. Those are complicated charging decisions, and obviously prosecutors have difficult decisions to make in those cases.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did an analysis. They pulled together as many cases they could find of similar charges to those the suspect had had previously. He was set on a $1,000 bail. They found that wasn't unprecedented, but it was definitely on the low end compared to other people, again, facing similar charges. I know circumstances are different. How much can that vary for similar charges from suspect to suspect?
So bond decisions and charging decisions are both very case specific. They may vary from one prosecutor to another. They may vary from one judge to another. And so it's not surprising to see variation. I think the bigger story that has been buried here in the Waukesha case is the question of overloaded courts, overloaded prosecutors, overloaded public defenders. One of the reasons that this defendant appears to have been out in the community, despite having several past criminal cases, including one that was quite old, is that the Milwaukee County courts are really far behind in processing cases. Were they not so overloaded, it is quite possible he already would have been serving a sentence for some of those outstanding charges already.
Because, right, as I understand it, if I'm accused of a crime, I can say, hey, I have a right to a speedy trial, a speedy resolution. And when I make that claim, it sets a clock in effect, right, where you have to make a decision on my bail. If the courts are backloaded, as you were saying, that increases the chances that I might get out on bail. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. The courts can't just indefinitely detain people for years at a time, possibly for longer than they could be sentenced to on criminal charges, just because they're busy. And so if you request a speedy trial and the courts can't provide one, then they do have to provide you with the opportunity to post bail and secure release. If we were able to move our criminal cases in a more timely way, we'd be able to actually resolve people's guilt or innocence and punish them if they deserve to be punished for behavior in which they've engaged.
You've mentioned a couple times how things are supposed to work and how they do work. Are there changes you think could be made, any kind of changes, that would make our bail system work better than it does now?
That's a great question. And I think one thing we have to do is look very carefully at why we are imposing bail, cash bond in particular, on the people upon whom we're imposing it. Ask better questions about what kinds of conditions we're imposing on people, how many, who's monitoring them, and whether they're actually working the way they're designed in order to make sure that the public is protected reasonably. And again, remembering here that there are always risks, right? There are risks that exist. And before people are convicted of crimes, we don't punish them in America. And so we are going to have to understand that sometimes people on bond will commit crimes. Now, the reality is often that doesn't happen. People on bond in the community generally tend to do pretty well. And again, tragedies like this one are so much the outlier that they are almost impossible to predict.
We'll leave it there. Cecilia, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cecilia Klingel is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She teaches courses in criminal law, constitutional criminal procedure, and sentencing and corrections. She joined us for a look at the bail process in Wisconsin's criminal justice system. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Michelle Good joins me now. Your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It's the biggest source of funding. Take a few minutes right now to support the programs that you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Little under 6 minutes left in this hour, and we are still looking for four more people to join us. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
Wisconsin Public Radio programs are listener-powered. That means your donation right now really does make a difference at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
In that last segment, we learned how bail works and why people are calling for changes to how bail works. This is the kind of conversation from Central Time that you get every day. It helps you understand the news.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for each day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And this drive, Alliant Energy is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000 worth of meals.
That ends up meaning that your thank you gift will provide an additional 25 or 50 meals to families in your area. Ask for yours now when you give 10 or 20 bucks a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've listened all over the country, you know, traveling, you try to find the public stations. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. And it is, for many people, I think it's, they can't get out, but they can find out what's going on by turning on the radio. I'm John Ink from Wausau, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for education information. It comes to you. You don't have to go hunt it down.
You can support that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Michelle Good. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. That's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
Two more gifts during this hour. Thank you so much to those eight people who made a donation. Now, what about you? You might think that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else does. Well, WPR has been around for years because thousands of people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
Now it's time for you to make that decision. Now. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month. You choose what works best for you. Give now. It's time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is an amazing value. There's not pretty much anything you can get for a dollar a day. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
That buck a day comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you. You can do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
About 3 minutes, 2 minutes left to go. We still need those two more people to join in to support the programs that they love. Help us meet that goal. You can hear we're excited. We're really close. WPR, it's listener power. That means you, the listener, you are the people powering it. Without your support, it's really, really difficult for us to do this, what we do. So please make that gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is so important.
When you give, you're supporting the future of Wisconsin Public Radio, your daily listening habit, and a special added bonus here. When you give a $10 or $20 a month, you could choose one of the food bank gifts. Alliant Energy partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through that food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. So support radio, help feed people in need in your community. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hopefully those last couple gifts are coming in right now. Help us hit our goal this hour. Love to hear from you right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It'd be so awesome if we hit that goal. We are so close. Maybe you are like Jessica in Eau Claire who says, I am donating because I love Rob Ferret.
What?
She did. She said that.
People don't say that.
Yes, they do.
What?
And I know there are more people out there because, you know, it's Rob. He's the best. So if you are one of those people who you love Central Time because you love Rob and you love all the great programming that Central Time puts out, make that donation now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Don't be. You're good.
Well, that's very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Jessica. We also heard from Liz in Madison. Liz says, since moving to Wisconsin, WPR has helped me gain the context I need to understand and participate in state and local politics. WPR is inseparable from my Wisconsin experience. Fantastic, Liz. That's newsflash. That's what we're hoping to do. We're hoping to give you that context to help you make decisions about things that affect your life. Thank you so much for the kind words, Liz. Thank you for giving. How about you? Support your radio listening right now. Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.